Well, good morning, friends. It's good to be back here with you this morning. I am ensconced in my chair in my office in front of my Apple, big old Mac computer that I produce this radio show on. And, you know, the technology that allows me to do this is pretty cool. When I record the radio show on this computer, I have to save it out of, well, there's this program called GarageBand that I use. And I'm really, I guess if you had a GarageBand, you could record music on it and do all kinds of stuff. And then I save it to my music app on my computer. And then I send it to the cloud. Now, I don't know where that is. I really don't. There's somebody that's really smart and knows where the cloud is, but I send it to a cloud storage app called Dropbox. And so I send it to Dropbox, and then I tell Bill Meade, remember him? I tell Bill Meade where it is, and he goes up and grabs it out of the cloud, the whole show, and then plugs it in. So that's how this comes to you. You know, I always try to give you the inside story on things that you, I guess you probably wouldn't hear. I've said some things on the radio that I've been chastised for. And, you know, I haven't come out and cussed or anything like that, but I have said, well, you don't really need to say that. And I said, well, okay, I'll try to avoid that, but I'm not making any promises. But today I'm going to say some things that, you know, I guess situations that happen to people and they really don't know what to do about it. But it would be helpful if they could hear from somebody who knows what they should do. And the only reason I know what you should do in these particular circumstances is that I have done this for 43 years, and I am a car dealer, and I have, you know, I have both a buying and selling perspective. And I've dealt with enough issues over my career where my people screwed up. That's not a cuss word, is it? No. My people screwed up, and I had to compensate, you know, for what they did. I have also handled situations where we didn't screw up, but the customer thinks we did. And that also has to be handled in a proper way. Or, you know, you blow the relationship. And that's not something I ever want to do. You know, it's a lot easier to save a customer than it is to get a new one. That's what I've always heard. You know, to get new ones, you know, you've got to advertise. You've got to put a big fancy TV commercial or radio spot or something, and you entice somebody to come into your business because of the big sale that you're having. And that costs money. Whereas if you have a customer that has a little bad experience in service and you really focus on them and solve the problem, and they see that you're genuine and a good person, and you know, you want to retain their business, then by golly, you will be rewarded with their loyalty. You know, I've always looked at loyalty as kind of like a bank account. Every time that I do something good for a customer, I'm making a deposit in their emotional bank account. And, you know, as I build and build and build, you know, a lot of good experiences and stuff, then I think I build up a pretty good balance. And then if something happens that doesn't go right, then there's a withdrawal that's made and the customer's not happy, but I still have a balance, a positive balance in the account because of all the previous history. What's bad is when you have a new customer and, you know, let's say you sell somebody a brand new Nissan, and then the first time they come in, you know, something bad happens and the service advisor doesn't communicate right and everything. And then they say, well, the heck with you. So I had no opportunity to build anything in their emotional bank account. So I'm in the deficit. And so they just defect and go somewhere else. That's what happens to a lot of businesses. How many businesses have you defected from, you know, because of a situation? I'm sure I've had over my career, unfortunately, I've had some people defect. But most, I would say that conservatively, 99.9% of the time, if they got to me or my dad or my daughters or somebody that, or my, you know, service manager or somebody, if they got to those people, then the problem got solved. But too many people, when you're, you know, doing business with a car dealer or whatever, you're only talking to the salesperson. Not that they're, you know, not able to handle things. Many times they can, you know, if they're proactive and really think about it. But sometimes they can't see the forest because of the trees. You ever heard that one? I'm sure you have. Perspective, you know, is what it's all about. I'll never forget, went to the Powell's school. It was called the Lean Mean Profit Machine. I thought that was such a cool name, but Powell's training center up in Kingsport. Yeah, car dealer went to a school to learn how to make hot dogs. But no, it was about their process, and it's why they were so successful. And I was invited. I felt very, I guess I had a lot of gratitude to Tom Crosby for letting me come and go to his class. And it was interesting the way his perspective was that, you know, the average person will spend over $30,000 on fast food in their lifetime. That sounds a little low to me. But that's what the number, and what he wanted his people to recognize is when somebody pulled up to the drive-in window, just imagine that they've got $30,000 tattooed on their forehead. Now, that would look odd. But if they did, and you know that if you don't, if the French fries were soggy and you don't give them new French fries, that they may never come back, then you just lost your chance at that $30,000. I personally think that's a healthy perspective, but it is hard to get some people to see that because they have their guard up. And you know what guards can do? Sometimes they can actually get in the way and lead to something that doesn't need to happen. And that can happen in a car dealership as well. But I want to get into some of these things that customers have complained to me about over the years. And, you know, maybe some of it was with me. Some of it was somebody else's situation they were in. But I think you will appreciate the scenarios. You may have been in them yourself. And then my potential solution, you know, and things that need to be considered. So we'll get to that here in just a minute. Okay, welcome back to this edition of My Car Guru. And so here's one of those scenarios that I was talking about where somebody had an experience with a car dealership and didn't turn out the way they wanted it to, and they're upset, and they're coming to me for help. Here's the first one. I got a car, and I think I got taken. Now, I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. How many times have you felt that? You bought a car, you go home, and you really excited about the car. And then the next morning, I don't know, you think about it a little bit that night, and something doesn't feel right, you know, about the deal. So you wake up, maybe in the middle of the night. But more than likely, you wait till you know, get out of bed and go sit on the kitchen table, get the paperwork out, and then you start doing the math. And you realize that, gosh, this doesn't seem right. I think I've overpaid for this car. I don't think they gave me enough. I didn't understand it this way. Why is my payment so high? You know, I multiply this payment number by the amount of months that I've got to pay, and my goodness, look what I'm paying for this car. You know, it's a little late from the standpoint of being able to do something about it, unless you were defrauded in some way. Now, here's the problem with a lot of folks is they sign paperwork that they haven't read and don't understand. Folks, it's not an insult to a finance manager or to a salesperson if you want to read something before you sign it. I would venture to say that most dealers in this market, most dealers that I know, have vetted their paperwork through attorneys. And you know, they've worked really hard to make sure that it covers them from a legal standpoint. But some of that legal mumbo jumbo may take away your rights. For example, signing a document that forces you to go to arbitration as opposed to being able to sue somebody if you realize that you were taken advantage of. Arbitration, I guess arbitration's okay. I mean, it's less cumbersome, certainly. But, you know, your case is not being heard by a jury of your peers. Your case is being decided by a third-party arbitrator and who knows where their loyalty lands. You just don't know. So I'm not going to sign a mandatory arbitration agreement with a car dealer. No way. No how. Not going to do it. But, you know, if you think you've gotten taken, you can always go back to the dealership as soon as possible. Don't wait a week. You know, go back the next day and say, listen, I don't understand this. I did not understand this when I was signing it. Now, if they tell you, tough luck, sister, then you probably did business with the wrong folks. And now you're just now finding that out. If they say, well, let's come back, let's look at this. I want you to be happy. I want you to understand everything that you got. Let's go over this. And, you know, if we need to make an adjustment, then we will. Now, that's what you want to hear, right? And if you don't get that, if you get that immediate pushback, you know, it's a little late to do something about it. You signed the paperwork. That's part of the problem. But if you were defrauded, if you didn't buy something, didn't agree to something, if you feel like you were taken advantage of, then there are all kinds of ways to solve that, but most of them are expensive. To me, the best way to go in is try to get to the top guy. You know, I've talked about this. That's very important. Let me get to another one here. They added a bunch of stuff to my contract that I didn't want. Well, number one, why did you sign it? Number two, what did they add? Let's say that if you catch this quick enough, they can void the contract before the bank funds the contract for the dealership, and you can get a lot of that stuff scraped off. If you wait a week or two, then, you know, that extended warranty and gap insurance and tire and wheel protection and all that stuff that you bought, you know, the only way that you're going to get that taken off is a check is going to be cut to the bank where you financed it. It'll be taken off the end of the note. You're not going to get a check back for it. And more than likely, they won't redo the contract because you waited too long. Review that paperwork the next day. Just look on the actual finance contract for the bank and look on the bill of sale that the dealership filled out, or the what they call the buyer's order. We call it a deal sheet. You know, that's just a term we use, but sometimes they say buyer's order. It has a very clear breakdown of selling price, trade, you know, if you had a payoff, what kind of factory rebates you had. You know, lots of times when you're negotiating a deal with a dealership, they're going to give you net numbers after the factory rebate, and the rebates are just kind of buried. But when they print out that other paperwork, they have to break all those numbers out, and that is your opportunity to look at it, and you may say, wait a minute. So the only discount I'm getting on this car is the factory rebate. You guys aren't cutting anything off of it. See, you wouldn't see that or know that if you didn't have a good breakdown on what the paperwork says. Now, if you're not a business expert and you don't understand that kind of stuff, then don't go in and buy a car by yourself. Take somebody with you who knows that stuff, you know, a businessman or businesswoman or somebody who has bought cars before and understands the terminology and the paperwork. That makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, you don't have to go in and do it on your own. You know, I don't think buying a car is meant for rookies. I think rookies need to have a coach with them, you know, to kind of help. But now, if you're going to be a coach, you got to pay attention. You have to do your job, your fiduciary responsibility. You've been hired as a coach. You need to go in and make sure that you're seeing and everything, and don't fall in love with the salesperson or the car and lose your perspective. You see what I'm saying? Okay. let's go into the service department just a minute. They say that I need a new transmission and that it's going to cost me $4,000. So what do you do about a situation when you've got a huge bill facing you on a car? I had a guy call me yesterday, and he said, Lenny, I didn't buy this F-150 from you. I bought our Explorer from you. And I said, yes, sir. That's fine. I remember that. He said, now my engine's blown up in my F-150. It's got 100,000 miles on it. I just had it serviced. That's when a little bit of an alarm bell goes off for me. I said, you just had it serviced? Yeah, just had it serviced, and then I went about 10 miles, drove it, and it just shut down on me. And it says that it doesn't have any oil. Well, somebody who did the service didn't do a good job. He said, yeah, but Lenny, I know these people. They're good people. I'm just going to leave it. I'm just going to trade the truck. Now, how many people would do that? I mean, I've had several customers that have gotten their – I'm not going to name the businesses where they got their oil changed, but they – and we've screwed up on an oil change before. I mean, it happens. You know, humans are doing human work. Then you're going to have flaws every now and then. Not very often, but especially when it's expensive like an engine. But she took her Mazda CX-7, took it in to get the oil changed at a very high volume, very powerful company that does service. And they didn't get the oil filter tight, and it destroyed the engine. They denied their culpability in that until I got involved. And then next thing you know, there's an insurance adjuster showing up at Gateway while we're looking at this thing. And as soon as we pulled the protective cover underneath of the vehicle, the oil filter had worked its way all the way off, and it fell out on the ground, and oil was just dripping. So whoever had changed the oil had not gotten the oil filter tight. You know, if you have a situation like that where you've just taken your car in for service and the next thing you know, you've got a major problem, maybe it was – now, it's possible that it could have been the car and this was a problem that's percolating and had happened, you know, spontaneous. It happens. But, you know, you have to look at the work that was done and what were they touching, what were they working on, and is it possible that this is a screw-up of the dealership? Do you really need a brand new transmission? Do you need a $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 transmission from the factory, which is probably a remanufactured transmission, a used one that has been made new again that the factory does? And those normally come with good warranties. Or do you need to get one from Jasper, you know, Jasper Engines down in Knoxville? Or do you need to get yours rebuilt? You know, some transmissions can be rebuilt. There's a lot of them are just not rebuildable. A lot of them you shouldn't even try. But these are all kind of the things that there needs to be a process that you go through to figure out, you know, how did this actually happen and what is the best solution? Let's say that you're getting ready to trade the car anyway. Then maybe it's okay to find a used transmission at a junkyard and put it in, or something that has the same miles or less as long as it works, right? I mean, that transmission in the junkyard might cost $1,500 or $1,000, whereas, you know, you put a reman in there, it might cost $3,000 or $4,000. So if you plan on keeping it and driving it and you're going to keep it another 10 years, then put the factory transmission in it because, yes, it's more expensive, but it's going to be covered by a warranty, which is very helpful. Okay, here's another scenario. I've had my car in there 3 times for the same problem. Well, don't take it in a 4th time without sitting down with a top dog in the business. It just doesn't make sense to, you know, that's the definition of insanity, right? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. Why turn it over to the same people? They're not fixing your problem. Are they not hearing you? Are they not listening to you? Are they not trying to duplicate the problem, you know, in the same circumstances as when it happens to you? You know, if I've had a car in there 2 times, I'm getting ready to go in the 3rd time. My first visit is going to be with the service manager. And if I don't get satisfaction with him, I'm going to the general manager of the dealership. I need your help. I don't have time to keep bringing my car in here to have it worked on for the same problem over and over again. Be nice, as I say. Don't blast them on Facebook or, you know, Google or something like that. Give them an opportunity to solve the problem and then brag about them on Google. You know, brag about them on Facebook. That's what you know, all of those employees, the 60, 80, 100 employees that they have, they don't deserve your wrath. And when you complain on Facebook anonymously or whatever, Google or whatever, when you complain about them without giving them a chance to fix the problem, is that fair? I don't think it's fair. That's just me. Okay, I'm going to deal with one other problem right after this break. We'll be back in just a minute. Okay, so this one happened to me yesterday. I got a guy that was trying to get his truck fixed at another Ford dealer. And he had listened to my radio show, and he said, Lenny, I've given these people an opportunity to get my vehicle fixed. They're telling me that there's a parts delay. And I said, well, send me your information and I'll see what I can do. So I did some investigation, talked to my service manager, and we found out that, yes, this part's on back order. But all a parts department has to do is go to the next level, you know? And that means checking the jobbers that are out there that have warehouses that buy from Ford just like you do, bigger dealerships across the country. You know, there are just, are aftermarket parts available? You know, these are all things that, that somebody that's interested in solving a problem will take it to that next level. And, of course, I always tell my guys in the parts department, I say, guys, our job is to make it easy on the customer, not harder. You know, they don't know how to find stuff like you do, and it's our job to find it. Go the extra step and then tell them what you did, and they'll appreciate it. You know, you'll build up some equity in their emotional bank account. You know, that sounds like soft stuff, that psychological mumbo jumbo, but it's true, don't you think? I mean, I think that when we know people have tried and worked hard for us, and, you know, they obviously want to serve our needs and stuff, and when they screw up, most of the time we'll forgive them. And we'll give them the benefit of the doubt. But I tell you what, if we don't know them and they aren't nice and they don't, you know, don't act like they're trying, they don't use the service language or the language of servant, then, you know, sometimes we just pack up our stuff and leave. So, you know, anytime you get a scenario like this, if you want to email me something or send me a text, you got some scenario or something that you want me to talk about on the radio show, I'm going to start offering that up. My cell phone is 552-2020. That is area code 423-552-2020. Email is Lenny, L-E-N-N-I-E, Lawson, 2020, at gmail.com. And send me your question. Send me... you know, if you want to know what a car is worth, or, you know, you're thinking about selling some old vintage car that you have, or you have some one of these problems, you know, you can't get your car fixed, you feel like you've been taken advantage of, send me the information and I'll answer it for you. You don't need a lawyer. You got me. So anyway, that's all I have to say about that. Thanks for listening to this edition of My Car Guru. If I can help you anytime down here at Gateway Ford or Gateway Nissan, I am pleased to do it, and we will see you Monday.